It's fun to giggle and shriek at the movies and TV shows where the investigators spend a night in a haunted house hoping to find the source of strange events, but it's a seldom thing to ask someone in real life to come to your house and find an explanation for something that the plumber, the electrician, and the heating technician could not find. But those are the situations where Medford Paranormal Investigations steps in. Brad Smith and Wendy Stuck are representatives of that organization, and they're both here in the studio with me. Brad, good to see you.
Nice to be here.
And Wendy, good to see you.
Good morning. Thank you.
So, Brad, I was reading that you've always been interested in the paranormal. What did you read and research as a kid?
Anything I could get my hands on. You know, back in the day, there was, you know, all these little scholastic books in the library that had things about UFOs and ghosts and Bigfoot, and that just caught my interest.
Same kind of thing for you, Wendy?
Yes, absolutely. Talking to my dad as a kid about, you know, playing around with a Ouija board and how I shouldn't do it, and having my own experiences.
Which is the fastest way to get you more interested,
absolutely.
Right? Uh-huh. And so what other sorts of things did you read and pursue through the years?
You know, just doing a lot of research on, you know, different experiences. Those folks that are actually in the field have been in the field for quite some time. Just, you know, going out and just seeing if I can have anything happen to me personally. Just kept my interest over the years.
So how did you get to the point where you were essentially going to people's houses and trying to figure out stuff, and how... let's get into that part first. How did you get into this element of it?
A number of years ago, I moved to Sacramento, and I came into contact with a group called American Paranormal Investigations, API. And they're actually associated with the Atlantic Paranormal Society, the guys who were on Sci-Fi Channel as Ghost Hunters.
Ghost Hunters.
And I joined their group, and within couple months became a senior investigator, and then a couple months after that became their lead debunker, and it was just constantly busy. You know, I worked about 3 cases a month, and you know, different investigations, and it was really fun and interesting. I mean, the main thing is we do this to help people out, because a lot of folks, you know, they watch these paranormal reality shows, and their imaginations can get themselves caught up into things. And then it's like, no, that's just a house settling and different things. But, you know, it's been my experience, like about 90-95% of our cases we had was very normal things that people misinterpreted as paranormal.
So that's interesting. So you go out as a debunker then. I mean, you're really trying to prove that it is something that has a natural explanation.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I liked about TAPS was always before in paranormal investigations, the investigators went in to prove a haunting. We came in to disprove, and whatever we couldn't, you know, it was just, well, okay, looks like you have something really going on here. Well, then we take it to the next step and see what we can do. And a lot of people think, well, I'm the debunker, I'm the skeptic, so I don't believe in the paranormal. But I've had a number of experiences, so...
Like what? Give us an example.
I was in... we were in Allegheny, California, an old mining community. And myself and another investigator were in the basement of this house. And we saw kind of like... in the periphery, you know, something moving around. So the other investigator started taking pictures. And every time she took a picture, she got this globe of light. It wasn't reflecting the light. It was generating from within the object. And then we tracked it for about 30 seconds. And then it stopped about 5 feet away from us. And then this gray-white mist appeared out of the thin air, about the size of a basketball, and then turned into a face and smiled at us.
Wow. And you, two of you saw that at the same time.
Yeah, and I could feel Jeannie, the other investigator, I mean, she grabbed my arm and she said, did you see that? And I went, yes. Did you get a picture? Yes, you know. But it was one of those things that a lot of people said, well, did you get freaked out? I went, no. I thought it was just incredible. It validated what I believe in. So.
And so, Wendy Stuck, have you had a situation like that, too?
You know, I was fortunate enough to spend the night on the USS Hornet, and I hung out with Chip Coffey and a couple other folks that are in the paranormal field, and I was able to have balls of light come. You know, we saw balls of light pass in front of us. We had cold spots, disembodied voices, which is definitely something that will make your hair stand up on the back of your neck. You know, most recently we've had, we had a gentleman, we were investigating a haunted clock.
Yeah.
And we had the Medford Mail Tribune out, and a reporter had just taken notes and left. And the gentleman we were speaking to he just became really clammy and white, and his face, you know, he just didn't look right, and he started sweating profusely. And he had said, "Oh, there's something's wrong with my back." And at that point, his wife lifted up his shirt, and there were claw marks forming on his back as we were standing there. So that was a little bit unnerving. And
we could see the welts raising.
Red
welts raising on his
back. While you were looking at it.
Yeah.
So,
he seemed okay. It was just at that point he was talking about getting rid of the clock, which has been in his family for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And I think at that point he decided that probably wasn't a good idea. Something was trying to tell him something. So,
Wendy Stuck and Brad Smith are our guests on the Jefferson Exchange. They are with Medford Paranormal Investigations. Yes, they do go to people's houses and try to find out what's making those funny bumping noises or other things going on. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Questions or comments may be tumbling out of you about now. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. How do you train for this field? I mean, what kind of stuff do you have to go through to be able to do what you do as a paranormal investigator?
Well, there's a lot of really good books out there about, you know, how to become an investigator. My advice is, you find a good team, and then, we have training protocols. You know, we teach you how to use, various equipment, how to record things, how to interact with the clients. And I have to put this caveat out there. What you see on TV is not what we do.
Okay.
You know, we don't turn off all the lights, because that's when people – I had an investigation once down in California that one of our clients, his kid kept wanting us, "Well, why don't you guys go dark?" And we finally went, "Okay, we'll turn off all the lights." And he's like, "Well, I don't see anything. And then he tripped.
Uh-huh.
And then one of my friends said, "Well, now you know why we don't go dark."
Now, so, this is not something you charge for, too. I should point that out. This is not
is
not a business you're running. This is just something you do on the side. What are your day jobs, Wendy?
I am an employment specialist. I help people find employment every day. So,
that could be spooky enough, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. This is just something that, I've known Brad for quite a few years, and it's just something we became interested in and decided to start it here. We've actually had, really good experiences in Medford and surrounding areas.
All right. And Brad, what's your day job? What do you do for
I'm a reporter, freelance reporter now. Mm-hmm. So, and that's,
So you're a skeptic to begin with, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of interesting because, the skill set sometimes overlaps. So, and of course, like this time of year, I'm busy writing articles about ghosts and hauntings anyway. So,
sure. So you said 90-95%. There's really nothing to it. What are the usual things you find out? I mean, you mentioned house settling for one thing.
Well, I mean, there's always things like there's issues with electromagnetic frequency or fields, EMF.
Like from people's Wi-Fi and stuff
Like that? I mean, it's a lot of, like a lot of the older electronics, TV sets, radios, clock radios, aren't shielded like they are now. Mm-hmm. And they emit like a huge amount of EMF. And that can affect people. That can cause them to feel like, they're having hallucinations. It feels like, they're being touched, seeing things. I mean, that sort of stuff. So that's something we look for. Again, how the house is built.
Mm-hmm.
And also it's just, sometimes it's people's overactive imagination. And you just have to say, well, no.
Yeah, well, there are times, like, for example, in my house when I, wow, what's that weird squeaking sound? And you just lift the lid on the coffee pot and let the pressure out, and what do you know? Everything's normal again.
Yeah, and again, it goes back to like a lot of these TV shows. I always have a feeling we're going to have an interesting investigation when we walk in and someone is watching some paranormal show on the TV. Yeah, we're waiting for you. And it's like,
oh, boy. Well, okay. Turn out all the lights and we'll spend the night. You know,
yeah.
Which is not what happens. Yeah. You don't spend the night in people's houses.
That's no, kind of I mean, it, we've never had anything no. like that. No. But, I mean, if something was happening like 24/7 and like a lot of their activity was being reported at late at night, yeah, we might. But, you know, usually it's only a few hours.
So when you have seen things or heard things, I mean, Wendy, what do you do then? I mean, what kind of equipment do you have? Because you mentioned equipment here, but what kinds of practices do you then undertake when there is something that can't be explained?
Well, we use digital recordings, and sometimes we pick those up during an initial investigation when we're having conversations with a client. We use different cameras will pick up stuff, you know, on the audio piece. Once we find that, of course, you're talking about hours and hours of audio listening to it. And once we do find a particular sound that we can't decipher what that is, we usually try to, you know, talk to each other and, you know, think about what was going on at that moment, look through our notes, and we'll try to isolate that sound and, you know, do some tweaking with the audio on it just to see what exactly is there. And then we'll present that to the client just to get their input. There's a few times where we picked up some audio that was a little bit frightening.
Yeah.
So what was on it?
Well, we were investigating for this family that was having issues in their children's room, and we left a camera in the room for, I don't know, a good half an hour. And at one point during the time the camera was in the room, we heard a low voice say, "Coward." And it was a little bit startling. And in fact, they were a little bit concerned when they heard it as well. At that point, we were able to do a cleansing of the home, and they seemed to be doing well.
Yeah, and then the other aspect of that investigation was one of the children was very sensitive, and he was able to kind of see things and interact with things. And he had a family member who would watch these paranormal shows and say, you know, you can use your, basically saying you can use your powers for good, you know.
Oh, wow.
And basically just really influencing the kid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things was we sit down with the parents and say, okay, look, you know, just get them away from the paranormal stuff. So between the cleansing and basically shutting down his interest in the paranormal, things dropped off.
The cleansing, how is that done?
Well, it depends on the preference of the person. I know I personally haven't had to bring any, you know, a shaman or a, you know, a pastor or minister in. Brad may have more experience with that. We did an elemental cleansing in the home. So basically just fire, earth, water, and, you know, we go through the house. A lot of it is giving back, allowing the person to get back their home and giving them the power to say, hey, you need to leave my house. It's not okay. That seems to work a lot of the time.
Yeah. And it's more of a kind of like a psychological reinforcement because at this point, the clients are kind of like at their wit's end. And it's like, okay, we're going to do this. We really want you to believe in what we're doing. You really have to have faith in this. And so it kind of reaffirms
it makes them feel better about
the
situation, that they have some control.
Yeah, and because I mean that's at this point they feel like they don't have any control in their own home. So
okay, grab your headphones. I want to bring a call in here. We're talking to Brad Smith and Wendy Stuck of Medford Paranormal Investigations, and here's Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Exchange.
Good morning. I want to disclaim and say I've never had a real scary experience except for driverless cars in Josephine County.
Okay.
Now, I'm an alumni of Southern Oregon State University on the 20-year plan, and Swedenborg House always was rumored to be haunted. Have you guys ever looked into Swedenborg? and I'll take my answer off the air.
All right, thanks for that, Paul. Appreciate it. It's still now known as the Plunkett Center, but Chapel Swedenberg House, yeah.
I know we've talked about it.
Yeah, we've talked about it. Yeah, we would love to. And if we had the chance, yes, we would take it. There's a lot of places here in the Rogue Valley that, you know, we would love to check out.
Like what?
The Rogue Theater.
Yeah, the Holly Theater.
The Holly Theater, okay.
OSF has a few little incidents over the years have been documented or talked about.
Hmm.
Ashland Springs Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear those stories, though, like, you know, I've seen a lady in gray walking in the halls or that sort of thing. Do you have a sense or a belief that these are good spirits, malevolent spirits, just sort of neutral?
Mainly, it's, you know, they're curious.
Uh-huh.
You know, if we're dealing with something that's an entity that interacts with people, they're just as curious about us as we are about them. And sometimes they're attached to the property and they come back to see, well, you know, look who's here, you know, check on things and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Has it ever been that concrete for either of you? I mean, you really know who it is you're dealing with here, or is it just sort of a nebulous kind of like, I got a sense of some person?
I think for me, it's usually just a sense of something's there.
Yeah.
A lot of it could be residual energy as well.
Yeah.
You know, a time stamp, you know, an activity that was repeatedly done, you know, over and over again. And they're seeing, you know, people say, oh, well, I see at this particular time of day, I see the shadow walk by. It could be some residual energy there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah. you'd hesitate to call yourselves Ghostbusters, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Having said that, though, of course, the music we'll use to trail you out with
is
the theme from Ghostbusters. So good to talk to you both, Brad Smith and Wendy Stuck, Medford Paranormal Investigations. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson
Thank
Stage.
Thank you.
Afraid of no ghost.